Okay, go ahead.
Yatluna ayatillahi. Mm-hmm. They recite the verses of the Lord, of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Ana al-layli.
Mm-hmm.
In the night.
Mm-hmm.
Wa hum yasjudun.
Mm-hmm.
And they prostrate.
And they prostrate. So now even if you look at this ayah, min is in the Quran, again, thousands of times. Every other ayah will have min in it. So, laysu sawa'an min ahlil kitab. Ahlil kitab is also there hundreds of times. So if you understand the meaning of the word min, and if you understand the meaning of the word ahlil kitab, out of the 77,000 words, you've already knocked down 2,000 words right there. So this is, I mean, if you understand a few ayahs. So what our friends have done, our scholars of this our institute, what they've done is they've picked those ayahs which have the, you know, a lot of often repeated words of the Quran. And they've picked about 15, 20 of them. So if you do those 20 ayahs, then you knock down about 30 to 40,000 words. So this is an excellent course, actually. So, but it's under works, it's under process. So inshallah, we'll come up with that as well. But even if you look at this ayah, Ummatun, again, is there hundreds of times. Ayat, again, is there in the Quran hundreds of times. Allah is there maybe more than 1,000 times. And Al-Layl, Ana is not an often repeated word. It's there, but it probably is there maybe less than 12 times. Al-Layl is again present hundreds of times in the Quran. Wahum is there thousands of times in the Quran. Yasjudun, again, we think that it will be more than 100 times in the Quran. So again, you have, if you understand the translation of this ayah, I personally think you've knocked down 4,000 to 5,000 words out of 77,000 words. So this is beautiful, actually. And again, if you pick these ayahs, if you pick some specific ayahs of the Quran, which have many, many words in it, and many, many often repeated words in it, you can actually knock down 30 to 40,000 words in 15 to 20 days. This is what our goal is, inshallah. So now, what is the translation of the word min? Janab, I forget your name.
Ali.
Ali. Do you know why I forget your name? Because you don't meet too much. Ji, Ali sahab. Min. Min means from. Urdu mein jisko se kehte hai na, from. Ahlil kitab. Ji, the young boy here. What is ahlil kitab? What is your name, sorry?
Ahmed.
Ahmed. What is ahlil kitab? Ahmed. The father's name is Ahmed Junaid also.
It's
Muhammad Ahmed. Okay, Muhammad Ahmed. Ji, you can come up in front here. Yahan aa jaye.
From the book.
Ahlil kitab. Ahli kitab, the people of the book. Ji, ayat.
Ayat,
there's two meanings. One ayat is ayat. Ayat is verses. The second meaning is signs, right? So either ways, these verses are also signs of Allah, right? So ayat, but generally ayat means the verses of Allah, the ayatillah, the verses of Allah. Al-layl. What is the translation of the word al-layl? Ji. Farooq, you can come here. Al-layl. So in the Islamic history, layl. What is the translation of the word layl?
Night.
Very good. So now, what we're doing here is, and for those of you who've just come in the class, what we feel is, if you know the translation, there's 77,000 words in the Quran. This is what we told you last time. This ayah has so many of those popular words of the Quran that if you understand this ayah, even doing the translation of this ayah is going to knock down 5 to 6,000 of those 77,000 words of the Quran. So about 1/10 of the meaning of the Quran, almost. Or 1/12 at least. You can knock it down here. So again, aa jaye. इधर आ जाए, आगे आ जाए. सो लैल मीन्स नाइट, राइट. मिन, व्हाट इज द मीन ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ मिन? वी जस्ट डिड इट नाउ. मिन, कैन यू ट्रांसलेट द वर्ड मिन? यू कैन इवन लुक इन योर थिंग. Min is very important because min is in the Quran more than 1,000 times. So if you know the meaning of the word min, you've knocked down 1,000 words out of the 77,000 words of the Quran. G. Ahmed, Muhammad Ahmed.
From.
Min means from. G. Wahum. Okay, wahum. First of all, the question is, how many words is wahum? Is it one word or is it two words? G. Ali, right? Ali, what two words are there? Wa and hum. So wa is a different word. Hum is a different word. So now give me the translation of the word wa. Wa means and. And this word wa is in the Quran again. How many times? And thousands of times. So you knock down 1,000 words right here, you knock down 1,000 words with min. So 2,000 words right there, right? And whom? G. I forget your name also.
Shazib.
Come on, Shazib is my nephew. And now I'm going to go meet with Shazib tonight. And you know what he asks me to do every time I go to his house? He's like, let's play cricket. Today he's definitely going to, because now, you know, you have PSL going on, so he's going to be like, okay, in any case. Ji Shazib. So, wahum, what is the meaning of the word whom? So again, whom is there in the Quran more than 1,000 times. So if you do the translation of min, wa and hum, you've knocked down 3,000 words of the Quran out of the 77,000. So this is a very good score, right?
Them.
Very good. Very good. So you've told us two lafz ke translation bata diye already. You've told us, huh? Kiske? Wa ke and hum ke. Very good. Yes, judoon is again present in the Quran, not maybe... Not thousands of times, but close to 100, I think. Yes, judoon. But it is the word sajda, it is derived from the word sajda. So if you take all the derivatives, then again, this is again hundreds of times. But just the word yes, judoon, this one derivative is probably in the Quran, again, dozens of times at least. Yes, judoon. Prostrate. But again, prostrate is not the only translation of this word. This word is actually longer than... Yasjudun means they prostrate. As in they, too many people. It's a plural, right? So yasjudun means they prostrate or they will prostrate or they are prostrating.
In groups.
And they... Huh?
In groups.
Okay. So again, because Allah Ta'ala said, وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ and they prostrate. So now, as you can see, even if you do this one ayah, you knock down about 6,000, 5,000 to 6,000 words of the Quran. The total number of words in the Quran are 77,800 approximately. So if you choose, there are some ayahs which have a lot of often repeated words of the Quran. And if we understand the meanings of some of these often repeated words, then generally when Quran will be recited, we will be able to do the translation of these words. So now that we are done with the translation, we move on to today's ayah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And today's ayah is يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويصارعون في الخيرات وأولئك من الصالحين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Now we're placing both these ayahs together because both these ayahs have a connection. And the connection is that among these two ayahs, Allah has mentioned five qualities of the Salihin, right? And Salihin means very pious people, people who are close to Allah, right? So every one of us has this desire to become among the Salihin. And the Salihin, they will be handed over a very big status on the day of judgment and in Jannah. So all of us desire, all of us Muslim, we want to be among the Salihin. In these two ayahs, Allah mentions five qualities of the Salihin. And in the first ayah, Allah mentions two of those. And in this ayah, Allah mentions three. So in the first ayah that we did last week, the two qualities of the Salihin, يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ, that they recite the verses of Allah, or they recite the verses of the Quran in the night time. And as we said last time, it could be in the night time. It could also be after Fajr times, because this is also a time that Allah has mentioned the Quran. In any case, a person who recites the Quran abundantly is from the Salihin. Then the second person, وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ, the person who does a lot of sajdas. And a lot of sajdas means that he does a lot of namaz, a lot of salat. And we mention a few people who have done a lot of ibadat at night, whether it is salat or whether it is the tilawat of the Quran. This is what we did in the last class. Now, these are the two qualities in the last ayah. In today's ayah, Allah mentions three other qualities. And what are those three qualities? Allah Ta'ala says, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. It's a person who has iman in Allah. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and he has iman in the day of judgment. يَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, the last day. He has iman in the day of judgment. So this is the first quality. He has strong iman in Allah and Akhirah. The second, وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And the Salihin, one of the signs of the Salihin are that they enjoin that which is good. They guide you to that which is good, and they forbid you to that which is evil. And the third thing that Allah mentions, the third quality of a Salih person, وَيُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ, and they hasten towards good deeds. So these are the three qualities. The first one, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, they have iman in Allah and in the day of the last day, the day of judgment. This is bringing iman on the Akhirah. If you really, really are concerned about the Akhirah, this becomes your biggest concern. That you keep on thinking about the Akhirah. You keep on thinking about what is going to happen on that day. How will I face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how will I answer for the deeds that I have done? If this becomes a major concern, then this is such a big deed that you have done. The Prophet ﷺ said that the one whose major concern becomes the Akhirah, Allah removes all the concerns of this world from him. So when somebody is so concerned about the Akhirah, Allah is so attentive towards that person that Allah removes all the concerns of this world for him. And the reality is that the person close to Allah is not the one who has left the world or who goes in the jungle and has nothing to do with this world. Instead, the person who's close to Allah is the one who is probably living in this world, who has a family, who does a job, who takes care of his, you know, children, and who has all of these things, and who probably is a rich man as well. But the reason why he's close to Allah, because in his heart, a lot of time is spent just thinking about the Akhirah. So you could be a very rich person. At the same time, you could be very close to Allah because you're thinking about the Akhirah all the time. And at the same time, you can be a very poor person. But because you're still heedless of the Akhirah, you're still away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a wrong concept that somebody who's very rich and who has a lot of money is probably away from Allah, who's farther away from Allah. And the one who doesn't have the goods of the world is probably, you know, close to Allah. This is not what it is. The way we find out if somebody is close to Allah is the amount of fikr he has, the amount of concern he has for the Akhirah. And the Sahaba, because of the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were thinking about the Akhirah all the time. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked one of his Sahaba, "How many times do you remember death? How much do you remember death?" And the answer this Sahabi gave was enormous. He said, "O Prophet of Allah, the concern of death, the amount of times I think about death overpowers me so much that if I start my prayers, I am so concerned about death that I sometimes think that maybe I will not be able to finish my prayers and death will come to me." So this is the amount of concern the Sahaba, the companions had, of the Akhirah, of the time that will happen after this life. And this is the biggest of the deeds. That is why Ali, Sayyidina Ali radhiyallahu anhu, said, "If Jannah and Jahannam, the hellfire and the heaven, if it is brought in front of me, if I see them, it will still not increase my iman. Because I am so much immersed in the remembrance of these two things." So the person who is thinking about Akhirah, again, he's among the Salihin. Then the fourth thing. Now we've already done the three things, right? What are those three things? The first one was reciting the Quran. The second one was doing a lot of sajda or doing a lot of salat. Both things. And the third thing is thinking about the Akhirah, concern about the Akhirah. The fourth thing is وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, enjoining that which is ma'roof, which is good. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and forbidding that which is evil. But what is good and what is evil? What is your take on this? What is good and what is evil?
Anything that takes you close to
Allah is good. And anything that takes you away from Allah is evil. Anything Allah has ordered us that we should do is good. Anything Allah has stopped us from doing is evil. So now, if somebody does this enjoining people, doing da'wah to people, inviting them to the good, is again one of the biggest deeds that you can do. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ, that whose words are better than the one who invites people towards Allah. So this inviting people towards Allah is one of the biggest things. Allah Ta'ala says, who is better than the person? Than the one who invites others to Allah. So that is why there's a group of people who invite others to Allah. It's called the Tabligh Jamaat. You know, and these people are doing an excellent job around the world, inviting people to Islam, inviting people to come to the masjid, inviting people towards Quran, inviting people to that which is good and that which and forbidding them from going into the evil. But this is such a big deed that the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who inspires someone to do good will get the same reward as the one who's performed that good deed. So let's say your mother tells you that, beta, please wake up for Fajr prayers. Now you wake up for Fajr prayers. So you pray your Fajr prayers, you get the reward of praying Fajr prayers, but your mother also gets the reward for your Fajr prayers as well. So this is what happens when you invite others to do good. Now there's a question, sometimes people ask this question, that how can I invite somebody if I'm not doing this myself, right? Sometimes you tell people that please go pray in the masjid and you're not praying in the masjid yourself. So should you do this or should you not do this? And there's an ayah in the Quran that أَتَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَهُمْ, that you are ordering other people to do good and you yourself have forgotten. So from this ayah, a lot of people say that, oh, if I'm not doing that good deed myself, then maybe I should not invite others to that good deed as well. But the ulama have said that no, you should invite others to do the good deed that you're not doing. This is going to help you do the good deed as well. So the Shaykh al-Tafsir wa Shaykh al-Hadith wa Shaykh al-Hakim al-Ummah, Tanwi rahimahullah, he said that whenever I felt that there is something that is lacking in me, some good deed that I should be doing that I am not doing, I lecture on those things more than other things. Why? Because this is going to help me do those good deeds. So that is why if you inspire someone to do good deeds, it is again a good deed in itself. So again, let's say if you invite other people for prayers and you yourself are not regular in prayers. Now when you're not inviting them, it means that you are leaving one good deed. So you're not praying, you're leaving one good deed anyways, and if you're not inviting them, again you're leaving another good deed. So why leave both good deeds, right? So at least do one, and Allah is going to help you do the next good deed. There's hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, the reward for doing a good deed is that Allah gives you the opportunity of doing another good deed. And the punishment of doing a bad deed is that Allah puts you into another bad deed. So maybe if you invite others to this good deed, Allah is going to give you the reward in this way, that Allah is going to help you do that good deed as well. So a woman came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah with her child, and she came and she said to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah that, Shaykh, this child of mine, he eats a lot of sugar, this is not good for his health. So because he feels that you are a very big imam and everybody praises you, if you tell him to stop this, then he's going to stop. So the imam told the woman that, okay, if you can come tomorrow, then I will do this nasiha. I will give this advice to your child tomorrow. So she came tomorrow with the child again. And the imam said to the child, that, my son, sugar is bad for health. You should not take in too much sugar. And then, that was it. When that lady was about to leave, she said to the imam, Sheikh, you could have said this yesterday. I mean, this was not something very scholarly for which you had to look for, you know, look in books or whatever. So you could have said the same thing yesterday. Why did you make me come again today? And the imam said, well, yesterday I was also eating a lot of sugar. So then I did tawbah for this thing that I was doing, so that I am able to give, you know, lecture on not eating sugar. So sometimes when you lecture on things that you are not doing yourself, this lecturing others helps you do, it helps you, you know, get away from those sins. But again, there's one thing that one, all of us have to learn. And the Quran also tells us that we should learn this one thing. Is whenever you invite others, you invite with wisdom. Right? أَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ بِالْحِكْمَةِ Allah Ta'ala says that you invite others to my path with wisdom. And wisdom comes through learning. So it is better to learn the deen and then invite others, as opposed to just invite others without learning the deen. That is why to inspire others, you need to have two things. You need to learn the deen, and you need to also spend time in the company of the mashayikh. This deen cannot only be learned through books. It is also learned in the company of the mashayikh. That is why we go to the scholars, we go to the mashayikh, so that we can learn from them by being in their company. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, he was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Yusuf was a young man, and the father had died at a young age. The mother said to Imam Abu Yusuf that you go learn how to wash clothes. And this is a very good business these days. People want their clothes to be washed outside of their homes. So if you learn how to wash clothes very nicely, then you can earn a lot of money, and this is how our house can be run, you know, efficiently, and we will not run into problems, financial problems. Now when Imam Abu Yusuf was going towards the place where he would be taught how to wash clothes, on the way he heard one of the lectures of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. And he was so inspired by what Imam Abu Hanifa was teaching that he sat down. And every day he would go to the lecture, and he would not go to that place where they would teach him how to wash clothes, right? So a couple of months passed. Now the mother was asking that, have you learned it now? How come there's no money coming in the house? And she finally learned that he did not learn how to wash clothes. He was actually going sitting in the company of Imam Abu Hanifa and learning deen. So she became very upset. And she went to Imam Abu Hanifa. And she was very upset. She said, Imam, do you not know I am a widow? And the father of this child has died. And I made him go to learn how to wash clothes, and here he's sitting in your lectures. You didn't stop him from this. And you should have asked him yourself that he should go and learn this, whatever that he's learning, washing clothes, so that, you know, our house is run efficiently. We won't run into financial problems. So Imam Sahib heard whatever she had to say very calmly. And then he asked, well, how much money do you need per month to run your house? Well, she said, you know, these many hundred dirhams I need every month. Imam Sahib promised that every month I am going to give you this much amount. You let this young man sit in my lectures. He's very bright. She said, fine, but this is no long-term solution. How long will you be able to support me like this? I want my child to gain some technical knowledge, some job. You should have some job learning experience. Imam Sahib said, you know what? I am teaching him such a knowledge that one day he will be drinking. You know, in those days there was a drink that only the kings used to drink, and that was called, you know, it's called the Faluda. It's called Faluda in Urdu. And I don't know the name of that time or whatever, that he will be drinking a Faluda filled with pistachios. And at that time, the Faluda filled with pistachios was like, you know, was the most expensive drink of the time. Even the king of the time would not have this drink every day because it was so expensive. And the mother, when she heard this, that, okay, you're teaching him knowledge which would make him drink that drink, the Faluda filled with pistachios. And Imam Sahib said, yes. And she said, okay, well, you are not listening to what I'm saying. And this child is also, you know, so much in love with this, you know, this the books of Deen and all that. For now, you've solved my problem, so I'm going back, but I am not happy with this. So she went back. Many years passed. Imam Abu Yusuf became a very big scholar of the time. And the king of the time, Harun al-Rashid, a time came, he offered Imam Abu Yusuf to become the chief justice of the whole Muslim empire. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah accepted the offer and he became the chief justice. And when he became the chief justice, a few days later, the king Harun al-Rashid came with that drink in his hand. And he said to Imam Abu Yusuf that this is a drink. This is a faluda filled with pistachios. This is for you. You will be given this every day. We, the king, our family gets this every few days, but you will get it every day because this is what the plan is. And then he said, I remember that my ustad, my teacher, he told my mother once that I am making him learn such a knowledge that he will be drinking this thing, drink that only the kings drink. So when you enjoin other people to good, the first thing that you need to do is to learn the deen. Then you can enjoin, then you can guide them towards the deen. Now, not everyone can learn the deen extensively. So if you cannot learn it extensively, if you cannot leave your jobs and your businesses, you should spend some time at least learning the deen. So much was the respect for Imam Abu Yusuf. Harun al-Rashid was so impressed by Imam Abu Yusuf. He wanted that his children, his boys, he had two sons. He said, both my boys, they should become like Imam Abu Yusuf. What an intelligent man he is. And what a pious man he is. And what a groomed personality. Why? Because he had spent time in the company of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah. So he was so impressed. So he took both of his children to Imam Abu Yusuf. And Imam Abu Yusuf had his, you know, had his madrasa. He took him to Imam Abu Yusuf's madrasa. And he said to Imam Abu Yusuf, Harun Rashid, these are my two children. And you keep them with you. And you make them learn the deen and you make them learn adab. And the king left and went back home. And they stayed back in Imam Sahib's madrasa. After a few months, the king thought that maybe I should go back and check what my children are doing, what both my sons are doing. So he went back to Imam Sahib's madrasa. When he entered, he saw from far away that Imam Sahib was making wuzu and his son was actually putting water and Imam Sahib was making wuzu. So he stood there till Imam Sahib completed his wuzu and then he came closer and he said to Imam Abu Yusuf, that I had left my sons here so that you can teach them adab and deen. But I'm surprised. Imam Abu Yusuf said, well, this is adab. That these are the prince of the country. These are the princes of the country. And I am making wuzu and he is putting water while I am making wuzu. So this is adab. And Harun al-Rashid said, the Shaykh, no, this is not adab. I would have considered it adab if he had been putting water with one of his hands and if he had been, you know, rubbing your feet with the other hand. That's when I would have thought that he's doing adab of the Shaykh. So this is how much respect even the king of the time used to have for Imam Abu Yusuf. So when you learn the deen of Allah, Allah gives you wealth. And Allah gives you respect. So if you cannot spend all of your time to learn the deen of Allah, you spend some time at least and gain the barakah of the deen of Allah. Again, in the hadith, it comes those people who learn the Quran and the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ had made dua for some such people. Once the Prophet ﷺ was making dua, oh Allah, have mercy on my khulafa. Khulafa is second in command, right? Oh Allah, have mercy on my khulafa. And the Prophet ﷺ was making this dua loudly. So Soban radiallahu anhu, one of his companions, he asked the Prophet ﷺ, O Prophet of Allah, who are your khulafa? Who are the second in charge? And the Prophet ﷺ said, those people who learn the hadith, or who teach the hadith. These are the people who are my khulafa. So when you learn the deen, then you become among the khulafa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So five signs of the salihin, and we've done four, and the fifth one now. وَيُصَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. And they hasten towards good deeds. Now hasting or doing everything quickly is not something light in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-anatu min Allah. That doing things slowly and calculatingly and doing istikhara and waiting is from Allah. وَالْعُجْلَةُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. And hastiness is from the shaitan. But when you are doing good deeds, then you should be hasty in doing good deeds. Right? So in worldly matters, or when you're trying to take revenge from somebody, or when you're trying to fulfill your desires, it is better to wait and think and do istikhara and all these things. But if you're doing any good deed, you should not wait. You should just start doing that good deed. Why? Because the shaitan makes you delay the good deeds. Right? So one day it comes to your mind that now from today onwards, I should be reciting Quran after Fajr prayers. Then you say, okay, not from this week. Maybe from the first of the month I will start. So when you delay this, the shaitan puts you into something else and then something else and that's it. And this is how he makes you run away from those good deeds. So if something comes in your mind that you should be doing that good deed, you should just start doing it immediately. So one last story of this old man and then I'll end the class. So one scholar, he narrated the story. And the story was that he went to a person, his house. And the person had a birth of a grandchild. So he had invited everyone. And he also invited this scholar that I know. And when he went there, he knew this grandfather of this newly born child. And the grandfather would never pray, not even Jummah prayers. So this scholar said, okay, this is my time, because now the child is born and I have time to see him and he's in a good mood. So maybe I should give him some da'wah, I should invite him to prayers. So I gave a small lecture to everyone on the importance of prayers. Now, after the lecture, this old man who would not pray, the scholar said, he came up to me. He said, it was a very inspiring lecture. And I think it is time that I should also start praying. So this is what I have decided. That this young grandchild of mine who was just born, we have all decided that we'll make him Hafiz of the Quran. So when he will become the Hafiz of the Quran, obviously he will pray five times. When he will start praying five times, I will join him in five times prayers. SubhanAllah. So look what the shaitan does, right? Even if you have good intention, even if you're inspired by the good words of a scholar, what does he make you do? He makes you delay good deeds. So in good deeds, what should you do? وَيُصَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. This is a sign of a salih person. That he runs to, he hastens in doing good deeds. Because when you delay, then sometimes that good deeds actually, leaves you and you're not able to do that good deed. So these are the five signs of the salihin. The first one is that they recite the Quran. The second one is they do a lot of sajdas. The third thing, they believe in Allah and the last day. The fourth thing, they do dawah to other people. And the fifth thing, they hasten towards doing good deeds. And I will do the translation one more time of the last ayah. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And they believe in Allah. وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And the last day. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And they enjoin that which is good. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And they forbid that which is evil. وَيُصَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. And they hasten towards good deeds. وَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And these are from the صالحين. So we'll stop here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.